COVID hospitalizations, they have reached a new high for this year, and we're discussing the pandemic with Wisconsin's chief medical officer on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. First, though, let's get a check on our year-end membership drive that is underway at Wisconsin Public Radio. I am here with Lee Rayburn. Hi there, Lee.
Good morning, Kate.
We have come bearing a message that is your support is vital to all the programs on WPR. It is the largest source of funding. So take a few minutes right now to support the programs you count on with your year-end gift at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
In this hour, we have a goal of 20 gifts. These hourly goals, they're essential. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong here on the Ideas Network. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And here's the deal. You may assume that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely through tax dollars. And it's true, we do get funding from federal and state sources, but that's not the whole picture. And it really is voluntary listener contributions that make up the largest source of funding for WPR programs.
In other words, you. That means your support's vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. Now that you know how important you are, make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we don't expect any one or even 100 listeners to carry the costs of The Morning Show or any other program that you love. And in fact, there's an advantage to having the bulk of funding for WPR programs spread out over thousands of donors.
Sure, just think about it. When we have that wide base of support, it makes for a more stable organization. So join in. Become a member. Your gift might be $100 or it might be $10 a month. You decide the amount and donation method that's best for you. And then give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive, make a gift for the essential news and refreshing entertainment you enjoy year-round on Wisconsin Public Radio. You'll be entered to win a year of NPR-inspired coffee and wine and a Cheese of the Month Club membership. No contribution is necessary. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Coffee, Wine, and Cheese Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount. Here's how.
The trifecta. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Lee Rayburn. It is your support during this year-end member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you set it at, that is the right amount.
And supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Exactly. Your gift supports the stories, the programs, these conversations that keep you connected to the world, to your community. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So when 20 more people support WPR programs, in the next 50 minutes, we'll meet our goal. WPR, listener-powered. And that's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, a little lanyap here, your donation enters you in a drawing for a year-long subscription for NPR-inspired coffee and wine along with Wisconsin cheeses. Like I said, the trifecta here. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers, those of you making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered. And thank you so much for being a sustainer. If you're not one yet, sign up now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you are a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you. And make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month or whatever you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
Shout out to Katie Joe in Chippewa Falls, who says, I listen to WPR every morning. I love the accurate news and informed programming. Katie Joe, thank you. Olivia in Iola says, I've started my mornings with WPR my entire life, and I'm excited to keep these awesome programs going strong.
So your gift right now, so important, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
Now to the pandemic in Wisconsin, as numbers once again turn grim, surpassing 9,000 COVID deaths this week. Case counts surging, more than 400 patients in the ICU with COVID around the state. That's the Wisconsin Hospital Association dashboard. Your questions about vaccines, boosters, masking, the state's approach, your family going through COVID, 800-642-1234. Dr. Ryan Westergaard is Chief Medical Officer and State Epidemiologist for Communicable Diseases for Wisconsin Department of Health Services, DHS. Dr. Westergaard, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. It's nice to speak with you again.
Good morning. Starting with the global concern over the Omicron variant, which has surfaced in California, as you know, what does this variant mean for Wisconsin, which is going through another winter surge 21 months in?
Yes, it's concerning, but I think the key message right now is that there's many things that we still have to learn. There's more unanswered questions than answered questions. What we know about the new variant is that it can rapidly spread in a community, even communities where the Delta variant, which is highly transmissible, had been the dominant strain of the virus. That's what was seen in South Africa and got everyone's attention. Now that we're starting to see it spread in other areas of the world, it's a concern that it's going to outcompete or compete with the Delta variant and spread along the same times. Now, it's important to know what we don't know, and I think that's an important message here. There's concerns based on the genetic code of the virus that it might be different enough that vaccines work differently, that some of our treatments work differently, or that it might cause different types of symptoms or more severe disease. But those are all things we don't know yet. In the next few weeks, scientists around the world will be studying the virus in the lab, seeing how it interacts with medications and antibodies, and will answer those questions. So right now, it's mostly a concern because it seems to be able to spread so quickly.
It's interesting you bring up Delta. The state hygiene lab sequences the genetic code of a sampling of COVID test samples. Looking at the dashboard I saw this morning, every one of the samples they've tested has come back as Delta variant in the last 30 days, nothing else. So what stands out to you in the sequencing reports and what you see there?
Yeah, that's a very informative dashboard that our state lab does. And you see that we've seen this story before with the Alpha variant and then the Delta variant. It seems to be that when a new variant shows up, it spreads more easily. It just dominates. It becomes the main virus that spreads. And the South African government put up a graphic that looked very similar to what our Wisconsin dashboard has. And it showed over the period of just a couple of weeks that the Omicron variant became dominant and started to outcompete the Delta variant. So we have not seen that anywhere else. But the thinking is that the Omicron variant has been spreading for a few weeks, if not a month, in South Africa, and it might take over relatively quickly. Of course, we don't know. What was different about South Africa is they had really gotten to the other end of their winter surge, and the Delta variant was on the retreat. In a lot of communities, they had relatively low levels of transmission and then saw a spike up of new cases that turned out to be caused by the Omicron variant. We're in the middle of our winter peak, so no one knows how the new variant is going to behave in the setting where there's already really high transmission.
One more question along these lines of specimen testing. Is there enough of it? Is there enough specimen testing volume going on proactively to contain this? Or do you need to up your specimen volume?
We think there's a good system in place. In Wisconsin, we do about 800 to 1,000 of the whole genome sequencing tests a week. So that means you have several thousand positive PCR tests a day. Between 5 and 10% of them get sent to a specialized lab for the sequencing. And that's probably enough. In addition to that, we have the flexibility with partnerships at labs and providers who can take specimens of particular concern. For example, if a patient traveled to Africa and returned to Wisconsin, we can reach out and selectively sequence specimens that have certain characteristics. And we've developed relationships and the ability to share specimens and do this with our regional partners and CDC quickly. So I think we have a pretty robust system to detecting variants in the state.
So many more COVID tests are coming back positive. What is behind this spike?
Well, it's winter. We know, you know, that weather plays an important role. As people gather indoors, transmission happens. This is true of all respiratory viruses. And we know that holidays play a big role. Every major holiday, when you look at our epidemic curve since the beginning of the pandemic, we've seen an uptick. And we're now going to be in the next few weeks after Thanksgiving, where a lot of people got together. And unfortunately, there may have been a lot of transmission that occurred in those gatherings. And you know, we're heading into the Christmas and Hanukkah season where other people are gathering. So I think it's important for people to appreciate that, to understand that these are not risk-free environments, that it's beneficial to keep gatherings small, wear masks when you're in large gatherings in particular, do testing. We have an increased access to rapid antigen testing that people can get tested if you have any symptoms. And if there's any question at all that someone might be coming down with a cold or flu-like symptoms, stay home, isolate, get tested, call your provider.
We have Wisconsin's Chief Medical Officer Ryan Westergaard with us as we discuss the state of our battle with COVID. Are you wearing a mask? Have you scheduled or gotten a COVID booster shot? We'll be talking about boosters. What is your message for public health? It's 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up ahead with Dr. Westergaard right here on the Ideas Network. Wisconsin, along with the rest of the world, is still in dangerous territory with the COVID pandemic. We're getting briefed by Wisconsin's chief medical officer on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's talk about our year-end membership drive that is in full swing. I'm here with Lee Rayburn. It is our year-end member drive. WPR is listener-supported, and your gift now will ensure the programs you rely on have a strong start in 2022. You make WPR programs possible as we head into this new year when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kate, we have 40 minutes left this hour, and we're looking for 20 more people to join in. Thank you if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
I don't need to tell you that the Ideas Network is where you hear substantial topics like Dr. Westergaard right now, because you want more than just a headline. We go deeper into the issues. So make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're talking a lot about becoming a sustainer this drive. And when you make ongoing monthly contributions from your bank account or your credit card, that is how it works. And here's a really nice benefit. As a sustainer, you're automatically entered in member drive drawings.
And this one is special. Coffee, wine, and Wisconsin cheeses. It could be your lucky drive right now, because one lucky person will win a year-long subscription for NPR-inspired coffee and wine along with Wisconsin cheeses. So start your ongoing monthly gift today. You'll be entered in this drawing and all the future ones when you become a sustainer at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This drive, let the impact of your gift go beyond the WPR programs you love. Alliant Energy is partnering with us to help feed families in Wisconsin. They'll match up to 12,500 meals provided through Food Bank Thank You Gifts. Ask for yours today when you give $10 or $20 a month. Thank you for making a difference for your neighbors and WPR programs with your gift now. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Lee Rayburn here with Kate Archer-Kent. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. Whether your contribution is $10 a month or $100 a month, We appreciate and we count on your gift.
And after you've made your donation to WPR, you can make your gift go further by telling your friends and family.
And neighbors and anybody else who walks by. Whether you use social media, call them up, or mention it when you see them, just letting your friends and family know that you support WPR will help plant that idea in their minds. So make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And then let your friends and family and everybody else know how good it feels when you support the station that you enjoy every day.
Still looking for those 20 people to join in to the Wisconsin Public Radio family. Your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 ensures a bright future for the programs you rely on.
And choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month. Alliant Energy is partnering with us, and they'll match every meal raised through the Food Bank Thank You Gift up to $5,000 worth of meals. So ask for your Food Bank gift and get it matched at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up. It's convenient. Ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Get started now. It takes just a few minutes of your time on this Thursday morning, right, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Take it from Janet in Middleton, who says, I learn so much on a wide variety of topics and enjoy the focus here in Wisconsin. Eric in Ripon says, I like to listen to news I trust as being true.
WPR is listener-supported, and that means that your gift is powerful. It truly makes a difference. We appreciate it so much at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you for your support. Now to the pandemic, has news of the Omicron variant caused you to change how you go about your business? Do you have a loved one hospitalized with COVID? Do you care for COVID patients? What are you seeing on your medical team? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Dr. Ryan Westergaard, state epidemiologist for communicable diseases, stays with us. Dr. Westergaard, the hospital situation, the Wisconsin Hospital Association shows about 49 ICU beds in the entire state out of more than 1,300 that are available. What are concerns there about hospitals filling up?
Yeah, all of our hospitals and all of our regions are feeling a lot of strain right now. Our numbers, when we survey the hospitals daily, is that 95% of ICU beds are in use. And the challenge that poses is when patients need, conditions change and they need higher levels of care, there's not always the opportunity to get them where they need to be to get the safest care in time when they need it most. So this is the concern with hospital capacity, is that we want to give people the best possible care they can when there's no room to move people around and people need to be transferred to a different hospital and there's no hospital in their region to take them. This creates an unsafe situation. So it's a lot of concern. We're trying to maintain good communication and collaboration among healthcare systems to make sure that we can give everybody the best care they need.
Have you been hearing of hospitals having to go on divert? Are they diverting patients?
Yes, that's a pretty routine occurrence that hospital and particularly emergency departments are filled, that patients who are admitted to the hospital and would normally go to an inpatient floor or an ICU have to stay in the emergency department longer than needed, and other types of situations are that waiting rooms are full and some patients are being seen in the hall. These are all scenarios that are happening around the state right now. So what we need to do to work together to help our healthcare workers and our facilities are to take every action we can to prevent disease, which is getting vaccinated for COVID and getting vaccinated for influenza, and then use our resources wisely. If you're uncertain that what you're experiencing is an emergency, then call your provider and get advice before coming to the emergency department. Be in communication with your healthcare team. By all means, reach out when you need. But we really need to have our hospitals ready for people who are really sick from COVID and other conditions. And that becomes harder to do when the capacity is reaching its limit.
Booster shots. Wisconsin has given over 1 million boosters, but noticing the 7-day average for boosters is trending downward in our state. Have you had any supply-demand issues with boosters?
There are plenty of doses, both primary doses and booster doses, to go around for everyone who's eligible. So our goal is to work on the demand side and tell everyone and communicate to the public what we've learned about how important booster doses are, particularly with new variants spreading, what we don't know about vaccine efficacy. Getting boosted to optimize or boost the immune response is going to be in everyone's interest. So right now, as of last week, everyone 18 year and older who's more than 6 months after they got their primary dose, if it was the mRNA vaccine, or 2 months if they received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, is eligible for a booster. And what we've learned about how immune protection might wane over time, it is actually recommended now for everyone 18 and older to get a booster dose. So we encourage everyone to go do that.
Let's bring in Joe in Oconto Falls. Hi, Joe. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was wondering if there is a possibility we could be hopeful that a variant like Omicron could be more transmissible but less disease-causing, that it could outcompete variants that are more disease-causing.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. That's a great question. Certainly when the genetic makeup of a virus changes in a significant way, the way that it behaves in the body can be unpredictable. And that's certainly one of the possibilities, is that it can be more transmissible, but it might less efficiently cause disease. That would be, a pleasant surprise. And if the Delta variant, which is as virulent, probably not more than other variants that came before, could be outcompeted by a variant that causes less severe disease, that could be a blessing in disguise. But I don't think we want to count on that. And I think the key message is that this is a virus that causes COVID-19, and COVID-19 is a very serious disease. So we want to do all that we can to prevent COVID-19, which is preventing the spread of all variants that we know. And we know how to do this. We have more and more tools to prevent disease, so we just need to use them.
We only have a few seconds left, but speaking of competition, flu, we're seeing these flu cases really increase in our state. What's going on there?
Well, we got off easy last year. We had essentially no flu season, but that's not the case this year. We're starting to see outbreaks. In the Midwest, we saw some outbreaks in college campuses. So flu is here, still at low levels, but it could increase. And our flu vaccine numbers are lower than they were last year. So we really need to get the word out that influenza vaccine is widely available and recommended for everyone 6 months old and older.
Dr. Westergaard, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure always.
Dr. Ryan Westergaard, Chief Medical Officer. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing what happens when someone cuts off all communication with one or more relatives, family estrangement, here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's check in on our year-end membership drive. I'm here with Lee Rayburn, and we're here to say you count on WPR for in-depth discussions, and it's your support that keeps these conversations going strong. Your gift right now makes a huge difference both this year and as we head into 2022 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right, Kate, and we've got about 25 minutes left this hour, and we're looking for 17 more people to join us. Your gift right now is so important because when you give, you support the programs you rely on every day.
That's right, and thank you so much if you've already given. We truly mean that. And if you haven't, the time is now. Give a few minutes. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, we just heard from the Chief Medical Officer and State Epidemiologist for Communicable Diseases for the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, Dr. Ryan Westergaard. We've been hearing from Dr. Westergaard on The Morning Show since the start of this pandemic, and we'll continue to do so. And these are just some of the kinds of conversations you can count on right here on The Morning Show.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics that you join us with for conversation every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
Maybe giving a dollar a day? that would be the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. When you think about it, a dollar a day is a great value. Less than a cup of coffee or a soda or a day of cell phone service.
Or my cup of tea.
Right?
So, a dollar a day comes out to $30 a month, as you know, and you can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or charge to your credit card. Make your gift now. Do the math about what you think you would like to give in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Margo Potacek, and I'm from Madison, Wisconsin.
And I'm Betty Potacek from Madison. If we want to keep Wisconsin Public Radio, we have to support it.
There have been times when I haven't been able to give, even between the time I was a student and now. Even if you're able to give a little bit, I think that makes a big difference. And the sustaining membership, where automatically every month it comes out of your checking account, you don't notice it so much that way. And it's super easy, and I think it makes a difference.
Feel good and make a difference right now at WPR.org.
Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Lee Rayburn. Listener support, it is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support during this year-end member drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you set it at, that is the right amount.
And Kate, we always ask you to give the amount that's right for you. And if it's helpful to use a formula, then maybe look at it this way. Say you hear three things a day that you're really glad you heard about. If you paid a dime for each one of those, that would work out to about $10 a month. If that math adds up for you, then make a gift of $10 a month right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm looking at our drive dashboard, and it's not budging as I refresh. I don't like that, Lee.
Come on!
A little urgency here. We're looking for 17 gifts this hour. There is time to get these gifts in the door. You make WPR possible with your gift. We appreciate it so much at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, let's throw a bonus in there, an added bonus for supporting programs you love. Your donation enters you in a drawing for a year-long subscription, 365 days of NPR-inspired coffee and wine, along with Wisconsin cheeses. No contribution necessary. See WPR.org/drawing for details. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers, those of you making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
Shout out to Stephanie in Seward, Alaska. That's right. Seward, Alaska says, I listen every day from Alaska. WPR is still the best public radio station, even from afar. Stephanie, thank you so much. Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference. Alaska and beyond at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. Now to navigating family estrangement. Researchers say there's a lot to study in this area and point to a sharp rise in social media support groups for adult children who've chosen to be estranged, cutting off all communication with one or more relatives for a long time. Has this happened in your family or to you? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Christina Sharp is an associate professor in the Department of Communication at the University of Washington, where she directs the Family Communication and Relationships Lab. Christina, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Well, give us some parameters here. What do you consider to be family estrangement?
So when I think of family estrangement, I actually think of it more as a continuum as opposed to you're estranged or not estranged. But really, estrangement is when at least one family member intentionally and voluntarily distances themselves from another family member because of an ongoing negative relationship.
Who tends to initiate this breakup, if you will? Is it the parent or their grown child?
Research suggests that it's the child who is more likely to initiate estrangement, although there's many instances in which a parent might initiate as well.
What might those situations be?
For parents in particular?
Yes.
So sometimes parents discuss wanting to protect other children in the home. They might have a child who might have a substance abuse problem. Reasons why someone might distance themselves are a little bit different between mm-hmm. parents and children, but typically it's usually something pretty severe.
What about the grown child? What are situations like there?
Oftentimes adult children report things like some sort of abuse, maltreatment, indifference. Sometimes it could be some ideological differences. For example, when LGBTQ folks come out and are met with like an unsupportive reaction, they might distance themselves then. Or even in some instances, parents might distance themselves from their kids.
And you mentioned this, and we live in this increasingly politically polarized world, a culturally polarized society. And I'm thinking about gender identity. I'm thinking about Black Lives Matter, about Trumpism. Are value systems a factor here?
I think they certainly can be. I know more about the LGBTQ community because that's where my most recent research has been. But we're also doing a study on people who distance themselves because of political differences. And all of these things might be reasons why people choose to distance themselves. Although the majority of research to date tends to focus on more like reasons that are surrounding abuse.
Surrounding abuse. And you found that the pandemic has created complications for parents and grown children who are estranged. What are the impacts there?
So one of the studies I've done recently, I was looking at the experience of adult children during the pandemic. And what I found is that across a variety of different areas, adult children were expressing ambivalence. So the simultaneous feelings of two opposing feelings. So, for example, they like felt really sad that their parents might not have contacted them during the pandemic, but also simultaneously relieved that no one reached out to them, or they felt that contact from, if a parent did reach out to them, they felt that contact was both simultaneously welcome and unwelcome.
So those are very much conflicting emotions there. I would imagine that too can have an impact on one's mental health. What do you see there?
You know, we didn't look at particular outcomes, but mm-hmm. the experience of ambivalence generally is uncomfortable, right? When we're feeling kind of like contradictory experiences or things that kind of like don't make sense on their face, they're hard to explain to others. It's hard to get social support. So yeah, there's lots of things that might make an ambivalent experience difficult.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with communication researcher Christina Sharp, who studies how families cope with estrangement, and Christina directs the Family Communication and Relationships Lab at the University of Washington. You can join in with your experiences about relationships, about estrangement, 800-642-1234. I think about the impact on the children who miss out on knowing their grandparents due to an estrangement by their parent. How do you explain to children about estrangement?
So when I've talked to like immediate family members of estranged parent-child dyads, I think one of the most interesting findings was that people within the same family felt really, really differently about it. So some children whose parent was estranged from their grandparent, like, were really supportive of the parent. They were glad that that parent, you know, was in a healthier relationship. Alternatively, some grandchildren said, you know, like, this ruined my chance at a relationship with a grandparent, even within the same family. So I think that like there can be a variety of different reactions depending on a lot of different things.
It sounds like this also might be really hard to study because estrangement sounds like it is very individual, case by case, family by family.
Yes, estrangement is a complex, like, individual experience because families are systems. Like, you're not, I mean, it's individual in the sense that each family might experience it a bit different, but families are systems such that what's happening with one family affects all the members of the family. And so that's what makes it so complicated and why it's hard to sometimes generalize.
The holidays being here, a time where families are getting together, what should we do if an estranged family member wants to come around during the holidays?
I think you probably wouldn't be surprised to hear me say that it probably depends. It depends on the reasons why someone, like, wanted distance in the first place. Like, people renegotiate boundaries all the time. And I think it's about recognizing that, like having a relationship is a process, mm-hmm. and being close is a process, and you can't just expect like everything to go back to normal. So, like, setting expectations for renegotiating boundaries, talking about what that looks like, and seeing if that would be something that you want.
I think about that platitude, Christina, that time heals all wounds. And I'm just wondering, with estrangement, what do you see on timelines, or is there any truth to that with time?
For some people, I'm sure. But for other people, like, oftentimes when I talk to people who initiated distance, like, they are discussing not wanting to reconcile, which is pretty counter to, like, people who just, like, get in the fight. Like, I think all of us from time to time might have a conflict with a family member. But, like, one of the differences when I talk to people who are estranged is they don't want to reconcile. And so for some people, maybe over time, that renegotiation of boundaries that I talked about, they might feel like want to incorporate more interaction into their lives. Some people do not, and they want to maintain the boundaries that they've set.
Well, let's bring on a caller now who wishes to remain anonymous. Hi, go ahead.
Hi, I'm very thankful for your program this morning. I recently turned 59, and for years, decades, I've struggled with the relationship with my mom, only to find out through counseling that the counselor considered me emotionally abandoned as a child by my mother. So that at least helped me put some kind of a label on these feelings I was having. And now, as she's getting older and I'm getting older, I'm finding myself moving farther and farther away from her just for my own mental health. I can't handle the dark places that she could drag me down into. And it is such a struggle because I need to maintain my mental health. I have to take care of me. No one else will do it. Yet I have all my life yearned for a relationship with my mom that I'm never going to have. And as I get older now and I'm realizing these things, somehow being able to know these things makes it less, I don't know, it just helps me a lot. So thank you for your show. I'm enjoying it.
Thank you for being willing to share your situation. Christina, there is this growing awareness around mental health and about what toxicity can do to your mind and body. What would you like to say there?
I think that the caller who just called in, that sounds very similar to a lot of the things that I hear. People who just decided after a long time that, I guess the way estrangement begins, it's either this, like, growing realization that you can't continue as you are, or some kind of last straw event. But more often, it's this kind of internal decision that, like, this isn't good for me anymore. That I'm in a toxic relationship, and I need to get some distance from that.
Christina, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Christina Sharp is an associate professor in the Department of Communication at the University of Washington, where she leads the Family Communication and Relationships Lab. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Hope you stick around next hour as we discuss the debate around the natural gas industry and efforts by Sierra Club and others to block gas utility projects from expanding in the face of global warming. Now to our year-end member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Lee Rayburn. And your financial support, it is the foundation. It is the bedrock for all the great discussions you enjoy here every day. So make your tax-deductible year-end gift now for 2021 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kate, when 13 more people join in the next 5 minutes or so, we'll have met our goal.
Baker's dozen.
Let's get there. These hourly goals are set up to make sure we have the funding for the programs that you enjoy. So make your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've been talking about family estrangement and the difficulties in navigating and the impact that it has. But we had an expert, right? But this isn't just any expert. This is a professor whose core research for years and years is this one societal issue. And so this is valuable, important insights to the relations we have with each other and valuable guests who bring these conversations to us each day on The Morning Show. These are the kind of conversations you want us to cultivate and that you count on from The Morning Show.
And WPR is listener supported. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And this drive, Alliant Energy, is partnering with WPR to help provide hunger relief in Wisconsin. They will match every meal raised through the food bank thank you gifts up to $5,000 worth of meals.
Wow, and that means your thank you gift will provide an additional 25 or 50 meals to families in your area. Ask for yours now when you give $10 or $20 a month. And thank you for making a difference for your neighbors and the WPR programs you love at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
For me, it's really a sense of a connection to the world and the world of ideas. It keeps me informed. It keeps me thinking. I can't remember the number of times that I've had conversations with people saying, oh, I heard something this morning on Wisconsin Public Radio or National Public Radio. And then it's a way of having a very interesting discussion with other people about some of those ideas. And so I think that it keeps me informed and it keeps me thinking and is a way of engaging other people in important ideas. This is David Corey from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for information in the arts, culture, politics, and the world.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Lee Rayburn. It's your support during this year-end member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. So your gift of $10 or $20 a month right now, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And with just a few minutes left this hour, we're still looking for 13 more people to join us. Make your gift to support the programs that you enjoy and rely on every day.
And WPR programs, they are listener powered. And that means that your donation right now, it makes a difference. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've never given before and you look forward to listening to WPR every morning, well, then that's a sign it's time to donate. And when you spend that much time with WPR, that means it's important to you.
And you are important to us. Complete the circle here because WPR is listener-supported radio. We count on financial participation from people like you, people who care about independent news, about conversation, about music. Your gift of, say, $100 or $10 a month, whatever amount feels right, right for you. It truly makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When 13 more people support WPR programs in just the next few minutes, we'll have met our goal. WPR listener powered. That's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by, say, $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Lee, take it away.
Your gift important. Don in Port Washington says, I know that every source has a bias, but WPR makes a real effort to minimize that bias, bringing us information and wisdom at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.